And I'm kind of really caught between a couple of things, and I'll tell you what. And then we'll see what the Lord does, okay? What I'm going to preach tonight, if I preach it, it's you've heard it before. I don't know when. I may have preached it recently. I don't remember whether I have or not. But I felt like the Lord laid it on my heart. You know, I went home this afternoon and sat down. And sat there and dozed a little, really, and read a little and meditated a little. And the more I did, I went over these notes again. And the more I did, I said, Lord, I said to some of the men back there in the prayer room tonight, I said, I think I'll preach a rabbit message. Now, do you know what? You know what a rabbit message is, don't you? Just preach at anything that jumps up. Take a text and depart from it. My wife said, surely you wouldn't ever do that. And the reason I'm saying that, I'm saying, Lord, we need something. We have got to have something from the Lord. There's no question about it. I do, and there's families in this church that do. And you search the mind and heart of God and try to find what the Lord wants. And sometimes it just seems like it just don't come to you in a brilliant sort of a way. You've got to kind of pray your way through it and preach your way through it. And I'm pleased with what God did this morning. I don't know what God will do tonight. I'm gonna read the text and start, and we're going from there. And if I fork off, don't you think a thing about it? And if I fork off, I may not preach 20 minutes, but that's just the way it goes. And if I don't fork off, we may be here 3 or 4 hours. And so you just, whichever one, you want the fork or do you want the message? Amen. Miss Ruth wants them both. She is a real champion of the faith, isn't she? She wants them both. Amen. All right. I'm going to let you turn your Bible to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 43 tonight. Isaiah, chapter number 43. I want to read a couple of verses there. Really, I would like to read 5 or 6, 7, 8 verses, but I'll just read the first two because that's basically what I'm dealing with. I may refer to something in another one of the verses, just a couple of words there. But I want to read these first two verses to you out of Isaiah chapter number 43. Isaiah writing under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, and he said, But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Now may the Lord add his blessing to that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the singing tonight, the special music, the fellowship we've had. I do pray you'll bless the Word of God to our hearts. I'd ask you, Lord, to help me with clarity of thought tonight. Give me, Lord, the ability to follow the leadership of the Spirit of God. May you do for us, Lord, what you want to have done and not we ourselves. May the will of God be done and may every heart be surrendered unto it. I pray, Lord, that you'd save sinners and God, that you'd help your people that are struggling. I know there's problems, there's needs in the house of God, probably as well as outside the house of God, someone listening out there. So I pray that you'd give grace to them as well. Help those that are sick tonight, those that are traveling, those that are away from us. Give them good traveling mercy back to us once again. Bless, I pray now, in the next few moments that we have together in the Word of God and open up our understanding to it. May the sweet Spirit of God bless us and help us. And we'll thank and praise you, Lord, for all that is done. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. All right, I read out of verse number 1, and you notice there in Isaiah said, Fear not, speaking to Israel. And by the way, this scripture is concerning the nation of Israel and their restoration in the kingdom age. And he says to them there in verse number 1, he makes the statement, fear not. And then again up in verse number 5, Isaiah makes the same statement under the inspiration of the Lord, fear not. And so I want to try to preach to you a little while tonight on that thought of a mind about fear, or overcoming fear, having fear, and fear is real. You may not have ever experienced it, and I'll say more about that in a moment, but I want to say fear is real. Someone defined fear as a painful emotion or passion that is excited by the expectation of evil or apprehension of some impending danger. And when we feel endangered, there's a little four-letter word called fear that seems to grip our heart. Now, you may have never been in a place where you have experienced fear. But as your pastor, I can say that I have more times than once, and especially back when I was a boy coming up from Underwood, running from the bottom of Miller's Hill to the top of it, and down over the top of it to the Uncle Chester's house, because stories was told that a man hanged himself up there on a tree on top of that hill, and every night when it got dark, that you could hear that rope squeaking backwards and forth on that tree where he hanged himself. And I'm going to tell you, I didn't want anything to do with that tree, and that hanging and that rope. And they told all kinds of weird stories. There was a man lived there named Cap Matheny, and he was stabbed to death, literally. True, he was. But they got the tale going that every time it rained, that his blood would come up out of the floor. And I'm telling you what, I mean, when I'd leave Underwood and the sun had set, buddy, when I got to the bottom of that hill, especially that honeysuckle thicket on the left, I wasted no time getting beyond that honeysuckle thicket and getting up over that hill and in front of Uncle Chester's house. Then I felt a little bit better. And somebody said, "Preacher, what are you saying?" I'm talking about fear. Now, I was just a young man then, and I experienced fear. But as an older man, as a young man, I know what it's like also to experience fear. And I really believe that all of us, to some degree, I think all of God's creatures, to some degree, possess some certain degree or some kind of fear in their life. You know, there's a lot of people that's afraid of heights. I didn't know this, and I'll tell it on him. He may be listening. I hope he is. I'll tell it on him. Brother Gray is just almost petrified of heights. That's why he will not hunt out of a deer stand. Yeah, I learned that. Somebody said, "Well, that oughtn't to be so." No, you, hey, wait a minute now. He don't want to hunt out of a deer stand because he got him one out here at Dr. Seibert's and then got out of it because he's afraid of heights. And then there's other people that are afraid to fly in airplanes. Same men right there. Brother Steve's one of them, and I'm along the lines of another, because the Lord said in the Word of God, "Lo, I'm with thee always, even to the end of the world." Didn't say nothing about high, he said low. And I'm not too excited about airplanes. And, you know, there's people that really, they get real uptight when it comes to riding in an automobile. Especially when you're riding in that automobile and you're exceeding the speed limit a little bit. Or you may be running up and under the back end of tractor trailers or running off the road a little bit. And I know my wife over there, she has experienced that. That night we got down to Lebanon when all them storms was going through, I said, "Honey, are you all right?" She said, "I'm more prayed up now than I've ever been in my whole life." And I believe that was true. Brother Steve, I mean, riding with me, years ago, we had that old blue Ford van, and I run this traffic light down here at exit 42. I just come up to it. It was red. I made a left-hand turn and come up on the ramp up on the Penny Rail. And he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm just going up on the highway." He said, "You run that red light." And from then on, Brother Steve has been cautious when he's riding with me. You know, I'm that way about riding with somebody else. I mean, there's just some people I cannot ride in an automobile with. I keep my eyes on the road. I cannot sleep in an automobile. You know why? I have a fear of running off that road if somebody else is driving and having an automobile accident. There's a lot of fears that people have. People have fears about the devil. People have fears about the duties in the house of God. People have fears about dying. And because they don't know what death holds for them beyond that last breath that they're going to take. And a lot of people have fears about dying. And they're just all kind. A lot of people have fears about being up in front of crowds. I mean, people, there's some folks that can't speak in front of crowds of people. And they can't get up and stand in front of somebody and talk. I used to be one of them. And I know whereof I'm speaking. But you know, the Lord said in our text tonight, He said, fear not. Fear not. He told Israel to fear not. And you know, the reason He said to fear not, He said, because of this very thing. He said, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. And fear not, for I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Then He said, fear not when thou passest through the waters. Fear not, I will be with thee. And fear not when you pass through the rivers. They shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, fear not. Thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Fear not. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, I will be honest with you. Salvation, perfect love, casteth out fear. And if we're really saved by the grace of God, and I'm not talking about getting uptight, getting tense. I'm talking about real fear. I don't think a lot of people actually know what it means for fear to really grip their heart and grip their soul and cause them to have some real problems upstairs, if I may, and in the heart as well. But there is such a thing as fear, and as a child of God, we ought not to have these fears because the Lord is with us. There's many things. Now, I won't say a few things about fear, and I'll get into the thought, and we won't be long. But, you know, there's a lot of people that fear the future. There just is a lot of people that fear the future. And if you agree, if you stop to think of everything that I read tonight in Isaiah, everything there dealt with the future. Everything. Nothing was present tense. Everything was future tense. Everything is about tomorrow and about the future. And He's telling them, fear not about this. Don't fear when you pass through the waters. Don't fear when you walk through the fire. It will not kindle upon thee. And all these things are out in the future. And you know what we do as God's people? We worry more about the future when we ought to be trusting God for today. Can you say amen right there? We look out at the future at things that we think that are going to happen, and the majority of the time, those things that drive us half crazy that we fear will happen never come to pass. We ought to learn to trust God for today. You know why I say that? Because God is an ever-present God. He doesn't live in the past. And God doesn't live in the future. God is always a present tense God. That's what eternity is. That's why He's an eternal God. He's an ever-present God. He's always present, and He deals with the present tense. And so these things are in the future. And we worry about the future rather than trusting God for today. I'm going to tell you, if we trust God for today, we learn to walk with Him day by day. You know, they used to sing that old song, one day at a time, dear Jesus, one day at a time. That'd be good for us to learn tonight, to trust Him and walk with Him one day at a time. Hey, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself when it gets here. And by the way, when tomorrow does get here, it's going to be today. There's really no such thing as tomorrow. Because when tomorrow gets here, tomorrow's going to be today. And so we need to learn to walk with God today and trust God today and not worry about what's out on the horizon. Because I've got news for you. If you don't know what's out on the horizon, you're not going to be able to change it anyway. Now you can say amen or old me right there. I know a lot of people think they can change the future. But we're not going to change the future. Now, we can pray. I know, and get people saved, one thing and another. But there's some things that are going to come to pass in this Bible, and they're coming to pass. I'm thinking about our church. And I sat over there today, this afternoon, wondering, Lord, what in the world is going on? What is the problem at the house of God? What has happened to the joy that we had? What has happened to that excitement that we once had in the house of God? And I got to thinking about works. And I said, Lord, it's not in works. Because when it comes time for a meeting like the mother-daughter banquet, or like the missions revival, everybody, or a marathon, everybody jumps in and works, and we get the job done. So it's not a problem with works. And when I thought about that, I thought about that church at Ephesus. The Bible said they had some good works, and the Lord knew all about their works. But he said, I've still got somewhat against thee. And what he had against them was they had left their first love. And their first love was spending time with God. Their first love was sitting at the feet of Christ and learning what God had to say about that Bible. And not only about that Bible, but what God had to say about living for Him. Amen. And about the house of God and about Bible doctrine out of that book that I'm preaching out of tonight. Amen. I thought about Mary and Martha. You know, Mary sat at Jesus' feet. And she was one of them that sat at His feet and learned. But Martha was cumbered about with much care, much serving. And she got all upset about it. Well, I learned one day that Mary and Martha are both one. Spiritually speaking. They're twain. They twain are one. Somebody said, what do you mean, preacher? I mean, yeah, hey, Mary at first it mentioned sitting at Jesus' feet. Then it mentions Martha serving. Now, I want to say this to you tonight. We're not going to do much serving until we do a little bit of setting. Amen. Come on in the house. We're going to have to learn to set a little while at Christ's feet, or we're not going to get much done in serving God. Are you looking at what I'm saying? I'm saying there's nothing wrong with our works, I don't think. But I think the biggest problem we're facing is, ladies and gentlemen, is that we're not spending enough time alone with the Lord. We're not spending enough time in this Bible. Amen. The Bible does say, study to show thyself approved. Amen. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I know that's written to a preacher. But I'm going to tell you, it'd do good for the church to take that to heart as well. Amen. To spend time studying that book. Hey, you know what? Somebody said, well, I don't need to study it. I'm going to ask you something. How are you going to have the ability to give a man an answer for the faith that you're dependent upon if you don't know anything about that Bible? Amen. That's right. Hey, a lot of people say, I believe that book. Yeah. But they don't know about a thing about the faith that that book teaches. Come on in the house. Oh, yes. They say, but and the reason they don't, they've never studied the Bible. And listen here. I'm going to tell you really what will run chills up your spine and give you help. It's when you study that Bible and you learn something about faith or trials and God leading you through those trials, then when God brings you out on the other side of them, you not only know about faith, but you have experienced faith in God. Now I'm telling you, faith coupled with experience, ladies and gentlemen, is something that's hard to beat. In fact, it's almost impossible to beat it. Once you know that God will do it. That's why I never was able to understand all of Israel. Now, not all of them. They saw God, how God delivered them. They saw the waters of the sea part. They saw the Jordan River parted for those that were still alive. And they saw how God won the battles in the wilderness and brought manna. They wanted meat to eat, and He brought them quail and waist deep into the camp and made them eat so much quail that it ran out their nose. Read the Bible. It's there. It literally ran out their nose. Now, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm simply saying that God took care of those people. And God will take care of you and I. Now, all these things are in the future. And we fear tomorrow and fail to trust God for today. You know, we fear future sickness. And a lot of people worry more about being sick. They worry so much about being sick and worry till they get sick, or they worry themselves sick about getting sick and never get sick. But I'll get that right out here in a minute. Did you understand what there? I know people that, if you got a problem, it won't be 3 hours till they'll have the same problem you got. Yeah. If you got a sickness, then it won't be an hour till they'll have practically the same thing. And if we spend all of our time sitting around worrying about being sick, I'm going to tell you what, we ain't going to get much done for God. Amen. Ain't no need to worry about being sick. Right. And I know Miss Hall thinks I worry. I'm the champion of synthetics. I'm talking about medicines. I'm sitting over at the house this morning or last night, whenever it was. And I was talking about something. I was talking about, you know, this and that or something or other. And I said, well, I talked about my medicine I was taking or something. And then I said something about, I think I'm about ready to give up the ghost. I said, but I can't do that. She said, that's right. Said, you just worry about that medicine? Said, you know you can't give it up. I said, I ain't talking about giving up medicine. I'm talking about giving up the ghost. And I can't. I can't just say, spirit be dismissed. Christ dismissed his spirit. Wait, what's the need of me sitting around worrying all the time about being sick? All I can do is take the medicine, pray to God, amen, and leave the rest of it in His hands, by the way, because our times are in His hands, and He is going to do us right. He's never made a mistake. He won't make a mistake, and He'll always do us right. Even when we're sick, He'll do us right. Say amen there. Amen. I'll say it if you want. And for a future sickness. And then future sorrows. People, we worry all the time about having a broken heart down the road. Instead of worrying about being broken for Christ. And can I ask you this tonight? Where is our broken heart? Where is our burden tonight? Where is our tears tonight? Where is our desires tonight? For sinners to be saved. Amen. And to even to have our own families revived by the Spirit of God. Where are our desires to have our prayers answered? Do we really pray? I mean, are we really praying? Or are we just talking and saying a few words? Are we getting along with God and pouring out our soul unto Him like the psalmist said? I'll pour out my complaint before God. Somebody said, oh, you better not complain to God. David did. David poured out his complaint before God. And I'm going to tell you what. It'd do us good to do the same thing. Amen. I'm going to tell you what we need. We need some Nehemiahs tonight. That we'll look around and see the shape the church is in and be like Nehemiah. Shed some tears and sit down and weep and fast and pray until God hears and allows us to rebuild the house of God one more time. I'm telling you, the church needs to have revival. We need the Holy Ghost to breathe on us one more time. We need a stirring, ladies and gentlemen. Praise God, we all come in like we're half dead. Like we don't really care whether we're here or whether we're not. What's the need of going? We're not going to get anything with that thought. You won't. Come to church with an expectation. God will do something for us. I'll tell you that message I preached this morning. I said, Lord, this will never get over. I'll never make it. This will never. I said, I'll make everybody mad. I'll run the whole church off. But I'm going to tell you, God helped me through it. Amen. You'd be surprised that people would come to me and told me they appreciated what I said. Amen. Amen. I didn't think I'd ever make it, but I did. I'm going to tell you, that's the devil's talk. Yeah. You never make it through that. That ain't what God wants. You need to preach something else. You need to say something else. Oh, we need to say what God wants us to say up here. And I'm going to tell you, we need to live the way the Lord wants us to live. And I'm going to tell you, He wants us to live sanctified, holy, righteousness in the Lord. That's how He wants us to live. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, have a burden and a broken heart. Shed some tears. A broken heart will always bring a few tears. And I'm going to tell you, tears have a story of their own to tell. They do. They'll tell a story when nothing else will. Amen. When they'll tell the story when words can't. I seen an Indian mama sit on the steps of her house. Couldn't say a word. She just lost a 21-year-old boy. Had died of a heat stroke. And he just, Luke Batiste boy. She just sat there on the steps of that little old Indian house she was living in. And tears just rolled down her face. She couldn't say a word. She just sat there and wept. She didn't have to say anything. She didn't have to say a word. I knew what was in that mama's heart. And it was sorrow. It was sorrow. Now, hey, now there, we worry about that sorrow. And I'm going to tell you, you're worried about it because sooner or later, we're all going to experience it in some way. So there's no need of worrying about it until it gets here. Amen. Let God take care of the problem once it gets here, and He will.
Amen.
If we'll let Him. So we worry about sickness and we worry about sorrow. We worry about future sufferings. We just worry about suffering all the time. But the Lord says, fear not. And here's why He says, fear not. He says, fear not because of His great work that He's doing on us.
Amen.
The great work that He's doing, that He was doing on Israel. Notice what he says. He said, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Notice He said, I have created thee, O Jacob. Amen. I don't know if I can get a hold of this or not. He said, I've created thee, O Jacob, and I've formed thee, O Israel. Therefore, fear not. But I'm going to tell you what I do see in there. When He said, I created thee and formed thee, one thing I do see is the power of God. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the work that He's doing on us is being done by the power of God. He said, hey, I'm doing a work on you. I created Jacob and I'm forming Israel. So why are you afraid? What's bothering you? What's troubling you? What are you fearful of? If I'm doing the work that I want to do on you, and He is, folks, God's doing a marvelous work on the wheel of every one of us. And I'm going to tell you, the work's not the same on any of us. Thank God when He puts us on that potter's wheel and begins to make a vessel that pleases Him. I said pleases Him. And there's going to be no two vessels alike in the house of God. I can't imagine it. I can't imagine it. There's not. Did you get to hear what I just said? There's not going to be two vessels alike when we get to heaven. Ain't going to be two of us alike. Different vessels. Vessels that pleases Him is what He's making. And I think of His power there. That created Jacob and formed Israel. Now, here's what I think on that. This is not fact, and I stand to be corrected. But I believe He's talking about when He created Jacob, He's talking about bringing Jacob into this world through birth and creating him, bringing him into this world through the birth canal of his mama, Jacob. God created him. Well, somebody said, well, all the rest of them were born too. Yeah, but talks about a single person, and then He goes out to a nation. He said, I created Jacob, but He said, Israel, I formed it. In other words, I'm bringing it together. I'm forming Israel as a nation and bringing together a group of people. And He did. Somebody said, how did God do it? He's God. Amen. I didn't have no say-so about what family I was born into. God was able to birth them people into the family of Jacob and make Israel out of them. And by the way, He formed Israel. And you know why He formed them? Because Jacob, the supplanter, wrestled with God and became Israel, a prince.
Amen.
Because he had power with God and with man. What about that? And he formed Israel. Did you know that Israel killed about 15 Syrians today? They came in, the Palestinians came in on one side from the Gaza Strip, and they had to drive them back with tear gas and one thing and another. And the Syrians started to cross the other side of the border on the Golan Heights, and they had to go over there, and they went over there with some kind of, I don't know, track vehicles, a tanker and some kind of a track vehicle and real weapons. And I think about 15 people died out of that mess. Syrians trying to, no wonder they're fleeing their own country. They don't know what, they don't know what's going on in Syria, but you mark it down, Israel ain't going to let them in there.
Amen.
No. They have been enemies of Israel for years. They ain't about to let their enemy in under the guise of being friendly. They ain't going to do it. And I don't blame them. You might blame them, I don't blame them. I'm not going to say one bad thing against Israel, because I'm telling you, God said, I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse them that curse thee. And God meant exactly what God said. Amen. I want to say, you better not say anything contrary to them either. And neither should America. And when America turns on them, I'll tell you, it's all over for America.
Amen.
It's about all over for them anyway. But he said, hey, why do you fear? My power has created Jacob, and my power has formed a nation. Oh, it's the work that He's doing in us. That's why we oughtn't to fear. And God's doing the same work in you and I, in a spiritual sense. So why should we fear what God's doing in us? Why should we fear what God uses to do that? Sometimes it's not fun. It's like pruning a tree, folks. If a tree had feelings, every time you snipped one of them limbs off, it'd say, ouch. And that's the way it is with us. Every time God prunes us, ouch, it hurts. But I'm going to tell you, when He gets done pruning, the next spring we look a little bit better. Amen. That's right. He prunes, cuts off a little sin here and a little sin there, and He never takes anything off, or He never takes anything away that He doesn't replace it with something better. That's God. I've got to hurry. Amen. I'm going to say secondly, why fear? He said, I have redeemed thee. He's bought us. We're not our own. We have been bought with a price. And He's redeemed us. Why should I fear? Why should I fear if I belong to Him? And that just leads me to this. I'll just say this. Hey, not only He redeemed us, but He said, thou art mine. We're His possession. He owns us. He's redeemed us. And we belong to Him. Now, get what I'm getting ready to say. And I never thought of this until this afternoon. But get a hold of this. Hey. God said, Christ said, that you've been bought with a price and you're not your own. Ain't that what the Bible says? Does the Bible say that or not? Now, I'm going to get right down here where I can look some of you right in the God-given eyeballs. But I got a question I want to ask you. Did it say that we've been bought with a price and we're not our own? Then would you tell me why some people worry about something that they don't even own? Amen. It don't belong to you. That's like worrying about something that don't even belong to you. I don't belong to me. I belong to God. So why should I worry about me? Amen. I'm not even mine. I'm His. He's purchased me. I'm His possession. I belong to Him. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. That'd be like me sitting up all night long worrying about Brother Chuck or Brother Herford's woods burning down. Scratch your head, oh God, I afraid their woods is gonna burn down. Well, I hope it don't. But I'm gonna tell you what, if it was their woods or my house, goodbye woods. You understand what I'm saying? Why worry about something that don't belong to me? And I do not belong to myself. You don't belong to yourself. You've been bought with a price. The price was paid on Calvary when Christ shed His precious blood. He bought us when we were on the slave market of sin. And everybody that passed by railed on us and spit upon us. Nobody wanted us. And like Hosea bought that little lady of ill repute out of that slave, out of that sin, out of the market of sin. That's exactly what Christ done to you and I. Nobody else wanted us. Because they were like the kinsman next to Boaz. They didn't have the power to redeem. I'm going to tell you why. It would have marred their inheritance. But oh, there was a man by the name of Jesus. Amen. Yeah. Our next of kin, hallelujah. Our kinsman redeemer. Amen. And died on Calvary and shed His blood and purchased you and I out of the slave market of sin. And we belong to Him. We sang that song, now I belong to Jesus. Amen. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for all of eternity. Thank be unto God. Make a man run his head through the wall. Amen. No, the devil can't bother you. Somebody said, well, he can aggravate. Sorry, devil. Amen. By the way, I believe there's a difference in devil and Satan. Yep. There was a legion of devils in that maniac, but there's only one Satan.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
But do you know something? What power does a devil have over you? If you belong to Jesus, He cast that devil out of that one person. I forget, it might have been that little boy. He cast him out and said, "Enter into him no more."
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. He didn't enter into him anymore either. Now I want you to listen to what I'm getting ready to say. We come to church, and we're as still as a church mouse. And it seems like we've lost just about everything that we once had. And somebody said, "Well, Brother Hall, I'm going to tell you something. What good does emotions do us?" Well, I'm not saved by emotions.
Right.
I'm saved by grace through faith.
Amen.
But can I read through the lines for you just a minute? When J.R.'s daughter was sick, and his servant went and called the Lord down there, and then they come, and of course he healed that woman, had that issue of blood 12 years, and that fellow came and said, "Bother not the master, for she's already dead." The Lord said, "Just believe."
Amen.
When he got down there to the house, everybody just mocked him. He said, "She's not dead, she's sleeping," and they all mocked him. He put them all out and went in and raised that little girl from the dead. Now, I don't know, Brother Troy. I'm just guessing. All I can do is read between the lines. But I would imagine if that was one of us in here, and Jesus had actually raised our child from the dead, that we'd walk by and say, "What about that? Isn't that good? That's good." No, we wouldn't say that at all. Glory!
Amen.
Glory!
Amen.
Can I read between the lines for you a little bit more?
Yeah.
What if you was old blind Bartimaeus?
Yeah.
You were sitting along the wayside begging. You had never seen a sunrise. You'd never seen a sunset. You'd never seen the majestic glory of the mountains. You'd never seen the valleys and the hills. You'd never seen a tree in full bloom. You'd never seen anything at all. Never seen the face of another human being. And you come to Christ, and Christ asked you, said, "What can I do for you?" And said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And he said, "As your faith is, be it done to you." And his eyes was opened and he had sight. I bet Bartimaeus said, "My goodness, I can see. You know, Lord, you're doing pretty good. I really appreciate that. Let me see like that." Yeah, don't say a word about it. But I can't help but to believe somewhere along in there, there had to be some emotion somewhere. There had to be! Can you imagine being blind all your life and somebody opening your eyes for the first time and the first thing you saw was the face of the Son of the living God? Woo! And I'm telling you, I believe I get a little excited about that. And I'm telling you, when I was dead in sin and He saved me by His grace, I got excited about that. Amen. I don't believe I did. I'm excited about going to heaven. Sins are gone. Amen. Nailed to the cross. Buried in a bald tomb. They're not going to follow me anymore. They're gone, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah. I can get excited about that. You'd probably get excited if some little girl cast her eyes on you. You didn't like it. I didn't mean to embarrass you, but I can't him. He's already got a little girl's eyes on him. Little Red Riding Hood. Now, he don't have to say a word. You can see it in his eyes, in his face when you talk about her. "Well, who are you talking to on the phone, Jai?" "Emily." "Really now? What are you smiling like that for?" And I love my wife when she kind of winks at me a little bit. It knocks me about 10 feet. And I love my wife. And I can get excited about my wife. But I'm going to tell you, there ain't nothing excited me. There ain't nothing stirred me up.
Yes.
Like it did when I realized what I had in Christ. That I realized that I was born again into the family of God. Hey, and sealed into the day of redemption by the Holy Ghost, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah. And I didn't even have to speak in tongues to get it. Woo.
Amen.
I didn't have to be baptized to get it. He just said, wouldest thou be saved? Or dost thou believe on the Son of God? And that blind man said, chapter 9 of John, said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And he said, "You have both seen him, and you see him now." I imagine he sat there and said, "Well, what about that? Not on your life." I believe this all like that fellow in John chapter number 3. When Peter said, "Silver and gold, how about none? But in the name of Jesus Christ and Nazareth, rise up more." That old boy got up and said, "Woo! Praise God." And I'm going to say, them old legs had strength.
Amen.
If you had never walked all of your life, never. And somebody had Christ touched your body till you walked. Don't you think that might excite you a little bit? And by the way, that is a picture of a sinner being lame on both feet from the fall and cannot walk.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you, when God gets done with him.
Yep.
Amen.
Now look here. We're walking spiritually with God and don't seem to affect us. But I've seen them old boys down there at the VA, and I've seen them come walking down that aisle. And they've got both two prosthetic legs. Or maybe one prosthetic leg and a prosthetic arm. And they take them little tree and reach out them little thing. And some of them are just as happy as larks. You know why? I'm going to tell you why. They remember that day over in Afghanistan when that landmine blew up on that Humvee they was in. And they carried him into that little operating tent, and that doctor looked at him and said, "Son, I've got bad news. You've lost an arm and a leg, and there's nothing we can do about it. They're gone." Oh, his heart said, "Phew." But then one day they went to work with him. They put him that prosthetic steel leg on him. He said, "You know, it's not like the old one, but I can walk." And that arm, he said, "It's not like the old one, but I can use it." Well, ladies and gentlemen, I remember back that day when I couldn't walk. Amen. I remember when the bomb of sin went off under me and blew my heart all to pieces. But oh, I also remember the day. Well, help me, Brother Jerome. I also remember the day when Jesus passed by where I was and picked up all the broken pieces of my heart and put them all back together again. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. He tore my heart all to pieces and then let a whole lot of sunshine in.
Amen.
Ain't that right? Now I can get a little stirred up about that. I ain't preaching all my message, by the way. I'm about done. I can't see it for one thing. And he said, another, and he said, "Why should you fear?" He said, "I will be with thee."
Amen.
His presence. Why should we fear when we got his presence? Yay! Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will tremble in my boots. No, David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil." Why? Why? Somebody tell me why. "For thou," look out, "thou art with me." In that valley of the shadow of death, Jesus is right there with you. And he said, by the way, "thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And then while I'm walking through that valley of death, he said, "You just anoint my head with oil. And by the way, you've got to put something in my cup because, praise God, it's running over." Woo! I don't know what was in that cup, but it's running over. My cup runneth over.
Amen.
How long has it been since your cup run over?
Yeah.
When was the last time I got out in the saucer a little bit? Amen.
Yeah.
Buddy, it ought to be. I'm just telling you right. Well, here is really what I think God has bound down. A little trouble here and a little thing going on there, and a little thing here and a little thing there, in virtually every family in the church. And we're considering that little thing more than we're considering God.
Amen.
And that little thing looks bigger to us than what God is. May I say to you, there ain't no thing on earth or beneath the earth any bigger than God is.
Amen.
There's not a thing God can't handle. There's not a thing God can't do. He's God. Why don't we just let God be God for a change?
Amen.
Can I tell you his name tonight? His name's Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. His name is Jesus. He's my God tonight.
Amen.
I turned on that turned on, went online the other night and was looking up. I put in there S.M. Lockridge, Shadrach Meshach Lockridge. And they had him on there with 5 minutes or so or 6 minutes. And he's saying, he's preaching that message, he's my king. And he started talking about how they had stepped out of nowhere. And there wasn't anywhere to step from. Stepped out on nothing when there's nothing to step out on. Sprinkled something into the sky when there was nothing to sprinkle. Said, he my God. Amen. Said, he's sovereign. He's my Savior. He's my God. He's my King. And went on and on and on for sake, just exalting Christ.
Yep.
Well, then I'm telling you about God beside myself. Punched in there, Harold, be silent. They're coming up, the grace of God. I said, now I've got to hear this again. Now I listened to Brother Sattler preach the grace of God. That was Southwide, 1983. At Brother Hudson Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm going to tell you, he got to that part, and I've heard it so many times, but you heard something, hey, woo! And Brother Doc Sattler said, let him alone! That's a Tennessee boy! I believe he's got good religion! Amen! Heard some young fellow in the background and carrying on Doc Sattler said, help thyself, young man! Help thyself! Amen! That's right. Praise God. Hey, are you listening to what I'm saying?
Amen.
Why should we let these things on earth trouble us to the point that it creates a fear that they're going to overcome us and destroy us when if we lean on Christ, they cannot!
Amen.
I want to say again, if we're leaning on Christ, they cannot overcome you!
Amen.
Your fear cannot overcome you! It can't! Somebody said, oh, you don't know, Brother Hall. Yes, Brother Hall does know. You're the one who don't know, baby.
Amen.
Amen.
Wish I could sing. I'd sing right now. Have a song and a poem, and we'd go home. Praise God. What'd you get my glasses, Brother Jerome? Praise God. Why didn't you tell me that a while ago? Yeah, I was. I said, I don't know where my glasses are at. Then he said, when you pass through the floods, they shall not overflow thee. When thou pass through the fire, it'll not burn thee and it'll not be kindled upon thee.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you what he's talking about, the floods and the fire. He's talking about trials. When you go through that trial of your faith, and there is a trial of your faith that you're going through. And I happen to stop and think about that. I'm closing right here, believe it or not. I stopped and got to thinking about them, and I said, Isaiah wrote them down from inspiration. Now, there's no question. I believe the Bible is inspired of God. But you know all three of those things, when you pass through the floods or pass through the waters, when you walk through the fire, whatever it says. You read it. You got it, Miss Ruth. You got it. Read it for me. What was that first one you want? It shall not what? Can you imagine when God looked at Moses and said, and I'm sure that Isaiah knew about it. God looked down at Moses and said, wherefore Christ thou to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward.
Yep.
He took that little shepherd's rod, as Brother Ricky was saying, Charlton Heston. Moses put that rod out over that sea. And you know what? Those waters parted. You know who parted? Wasn't that rod that didn't part them waters? I'm going to tell you what parted them waters. He said, I will be with thee.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you who parted them waters. When he told them to go on and go forward, God just walked out of them, out in the middle of the Red Sea and went, he said, now come on. And they thought, oh, they wasn't going to bother. When they come to the Jordan River, what does it say about that next one? When they come to that Jordan River, Joshua said, when the priests bearing the ark, when their feet gets out into the brink of the water, follow after them, because the waters apart. And sure enough, those priests, this time the water parted before they, after they got out into, they had to step out in the water a little bit. A little more faith. You can say amen or oh me, it takes more faith to live for God than does to be saved. They stepped out into that water. That's exactly right. It does. It takes more faith to live for him than does to be saved. Why do you think he told his disciples, you think they were saved? He said, oh, you have little faith. When they walked out in them, those priests walked out into that Red Sea or that Jordan River, that water said, it just cut off from up above and stood up like a wall. I wonder how high that thing went up in the air. The water just run on downstream. They know they need Jesus down there in the Mississippi, don't they? They just tell that water just to stand up there for a little while until the sun evaporated it. You think he could do that if he wanted to? That water stood up on a heap, straight up in the sky, till the last Jew had passed, that last Hebrew, I'll put it, had passed across. And when that last Hebrew went across, they said, hey, get 12 stones, take them back out and put them in the middle of the river. It waited till they took 12 stones out there and put them in the middle of the river for a marker. They'll walk back out. And when the last one walked out, God said, down! And the wall said, whoop! Just down, just exactly like it was. Amen. And you know, Isaiah knew about that. Then when he talked about the fire, it won't burn you and it won't kindle on you, I imagine his mind went back to Babylon. And he said, Lord told me to write that down, and I'm sure why he did. I remember three little boys named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the king cast them into a burning, fiery furnace. And guess what? Their clothes wasn't burned. They didn't even have the smell of smoke on them.
Amen.
You know who that is out there. Don't worry about them kids. They didn't even have the smell of smoke on
it. Amen.
Now why should we worry today? You can look through that Bible and God's always taking care of His people. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wasn't worried. They had no fear. They said, the Lord whom we serve, He will deliver us, but if He don't,
amen,
we're still not going to serve you.
Amen.
They didn't. And that fire wasn't kindled upon them. They wasn't burnt one bit. And Isaiah, when he penned that, he did it under inspiration, but he knew about every one of those occasions. Now, why should you and I fear?
Amen.
If God be for us, who can be against us? That fear is not going to overtake you. It's not going to overcome you. If you're in the will of God, I better put that and clarify that. You can overcome that fear. If you just trust Him, let's stand together. Is there troubles tonight? Trials? Worries? You know what worrying will get you? Ulcers. Lord said, why should you worry if I take care of these little old sparrows? Don't you know I'll take care of you too, and you're worth much more than many of these sparrows. And He will. God loves you. I heard Larry Rain say this. God loves you too much to ever do you wrong. And He's not going to do you wrong. Never, never, never will He ever do you wrong. He'll always do you right. What we need to do tonight is just get thoroughly right with God. Come out of this rut we're in and start walking with God again. Sitting at His feet. Learning His Word. Singing on the job, off the job. Singing at the house. Singing at church. Singing out in the field, wherever we're at, singing for Him. Our Father, I want to thank You for the privilege of being in the house of God tonight and be with Your people. I pray You'll bless each one. Help us tonight, Lord. to overcome any worries or fears that we might have in our own heart. And help us, Lord, I pray, to live for Thy honor and for Thy glory. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Please help our people. Help those out in the listening area as well. In Christ's name. Amen. What page is that, Brother George?
337.
336?
Seven.
337 in your hymn book. 337. Let's sing right out on that. Others need to come. Come right on, will you? Are you walking with Him? Appreciate everybody being here tonight and this morning as well. Lord bless you. Hope we have a good week. Lord willing, hope to see you on Wednesday night. Pray for one another.